In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen. Every high priest chosen from among mortals is put in charge of things pertaining to God, on their behalf, to offer gifts and sacrifices for sins. So an Armenian priest and a Yerevan Varort, a cab driver, are in line to get into heaven. And the priest is confident he'll get in, but of course the cabbie is a bit nervous. And when they reach the gate, they both get in and the cabbie sighs with relief. And it's time for them to be shown where their place is in eternity, and the priest is taken to a nice duplex apartment in a nice neighborhood on a quiet street. But when he walks out onto his balcony, he sees that the taxi driver is being shown this mansion on a hill. And the priest goes to the front desk of heaven and he complains, "My place is nice, but I dedicated my whole life to bringing people to God in the church, and this cabbie gets this mansion on the hill. What's going on?" And so the front desk tells him, "Honestly, Deadhide, when you were preaching, a lot of people were asleep, but when that cabbie drove, everybody was praying." And if you've been to Yerevan, this is not an exaggeration. As Jesus said, the first will be last and the last will be first. But what Jesus also said often and demonstrated, as we see in today's reading and laughed at in today's joke, there isn't such a black and white distinction between priests and other people. And in fact, our job descriptions and our life callings intertwine and overlap. In today's reading, Paul puts it this way: every high priest is put in charge of things pertaining to God on their behalf, to offer gifts and sacrifices for sins. Paul zeroes in on what a main function of a priest is, and that is simply to offer gifts and sacrifices for our shortcomings and for God's greatness. And that's something every Christian should do, not just priests. Offering up thanks to God, our stewardship for our church family, for those in need, giving ourselves to build up the faith of others. I think St. Peter had something like this in mind when he called all of us Christians a royal priesthood, God's own people. And if we are a royal priesthood, does that somehow put me out of a job? I don't think so, because there's so much to do. And Jesus said to his disciples, as you know, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. And therefore pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the fields. And if you're interested, by the way, in what a priest does, it's hard to describe. Not as Dr. George tells you, because we don't do anything and only work 2 hours a week. But because we do so much, a little bit of everything, that it's hard to describe. And I guess it's always been that way, because the 12th century monk from Hochpot Monastery, who we've taken a trip there once, and maybe you have, John the Deacon, Hovhannes Sargalak, he came up with a 40-line job description when he wrote this thing called On the Priesthood. Are you ready for it? Take a deep breath. Physician, messenger, expiator, teacher, educator, father, nurse, proclaimer of the good news, shepherd, general instructor, light, preacher, vine dresser, farmer, head after head, leader, rector, host, cleanser, hunter, steward, best man, faithful servant, guardian, treasurer, nourisher, butler, bedecker, offerer, mediator, judge, head of the royal court and house, presider, decider, divine will, the divine will, worshiper, watchman, clergy, fulfiller, and minister. So by that impossible standard, we know why he was called John the Deacon and never was ordained a priest. But when I was younger, I foolishly and pridefully thought I could and should do all these things myself. Now, of course, I realize that no priest could or should do this, but a team of priests and a team of ministers, if that feels better, we can. And we do for sure have a team of ministers who perform many of the priestly functions of this parish. First and foremost, the parish council, of course. You could say Michael is our leader, Chuck is our treasurer, John Arsenault is our vine dresser, Rita is our host, but also in all the other ministries of our church, where Bobby's our faithful servant and Louise is our bedecker, Stepan is our watchman, George is our physician, Kevork is our offerer, Therese is our cleanser, Jean is our guardian. This is the reality of how priesthood and ministry works in this church, and I'm deeply thankful to God in this season of thanks and coming to the end of the year that you have all taken your calling so seriously. We wouldn't be in church, we wouldn't be in this church without it. But even if you aren't yet deeply involved in the ministries of St. Hagop Church, you still have a function of priesthood to play in your lives at work and at home. Because church isn't something we do on Sunday, it's something that by doing, we become. Right? We become participants and members of this spiritual body of Christ. And yes, our membership is to be first and foremost local here and now with these people that God has brought together, but it's not to stop there. It's meant to extend to the entire world and encompass our whole lives. Because in a very real way, if you think about it, what was God's church, first church and oldest? It was all of creation. God's church is all of creation, and every one of God's children have been called to serve it with their very lives. I love, one of my favorite quotes is by a Russian theologian who said, "In the immense cathedral, which is the universe of God, each man and each woman, whether scholar or manual labor, is called to act as the priest of their whole lives, to take all that is human and to turn it into an offering and a hymn of glory to God." So then, Ortnetsek and Asvaldortne, to all of you, may God help us all faithfully serve the priestly role we are called to in our lives. In a word, to learn to make work and marriage and family and church an offering of thanks and glory to God from whom all gifts come. And that's what Jesus did like no other, and why he's called our great high priest also in today's reading, and why we so closely follow his example in this Christmas season. Because from Jesus' first days on earth, through his awesome life and sacrifice, we have this most detailed and powerful example of how to take all that is human and to turn it into an offering and a hymn of glory to God, now and always, and unto the ages of ages.